this with we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. This is with we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Party, party, turn up the party. Hey everybody, it is February 9th, 2017. This is the Geeks Next Door, episode 47. 47. Good job, guys. We're almost at a year. I'm pretty psyched about this whole year thing.
Yay!
How's everybody doing today?
Good. How's everyone? Adam's not doing good. He's in the dark.
He's in the dark, and Dave is kind of in the... He's kind of in the dark, but kind of not in the dark.
He's in the audio dark.
Audio dark, yes.
Yep.
And he's minus one gallbladder, so I don't know about that. All right, what are we talking about tonight? Give me something amazing.
Dave, you're supposed to have known all this stuff, so where have you been on any of these things? I had to do all the work.
What kind of work?
Yeah, these are a lot of the same posts that I was going to put in there.
Huh? Yeah, but you were supposed to do them. I didn't want to do them all. I feel tired when I have to do them all. Because Ryan shows up and Ryan really doesn't do anything really cool.
He just kind of respond to things.
It's true.
He looked like he doesn't even look pretty anymore. He doesn't even try. Like, he used to try and look pretty, you know.
Look at that shave today and everything, man.
You got a finesse.
Really usually you're wearing a polo or a dressy shirt.
Yeah, like some sort of fancy Dell suit.
Something that says Dell on it.
Okay, I agree. Let's go ahead and start with Conan. I'm glad you guys brought it up. So, as we discussed last week, Conan and the dong floppiness all over the place has been out, and it was actually number one seller on Steam last week, if you believe it or not.
I don't believe it.
How dare you? I said believe it or not, but, isn't there a show? Ripley's Believe It or Not. But, yeah.
I remember that.
Give me your impressions. We have been playing for a little while. What do you like? What do you not like? And what do you think? Let's start with Adam, because he's in the dark. Never mind, let's start with Dave, because he's in the light.
I like it. It's fun, but it is unforgiving, which I like, because that's a Conan world thing that is very unforgiving. But as a game, sometimes it's a kick in the crotch that it's so unforgiving.
What do you mean by unforgiving?
It's kind of the thing I can't watch.
Like, some games, if you forget to do something, you're like, ah, fuck, I forgot to do that. Now I just got to run back and do this thing. Like, if you forget to do something in that, if you forget to put a bedroll down to save your spawn location, you just spawn in the middle of the desert and have to run all the way back through deadly hyenas and crocodiles that will just straight up murder you to try and get to your base.
I don't know anything about that.
You know what's interesting is I was going a little bit off of Ryan's theory is, since our base is so far north, it would be interesting to keep like a couple tier one stuff in our home base, which is kind of near the spawn point, and then you pick up that shit and then go run up north that's really far. Because at least then you have a fighting chance against hyenas, right? Instead of just dying right away.
Yeah,
or
that
we could just build a base between the two points, like just a shack.
But how's that stop hyenas from killing you?
No, you know what you do is you...
If they don't see you.
Well, obviously, then you don't need anything.
You could make one trip. It would be a hike, but make one trip, build a box near the spawn point, fill it up with tier one stuff.
Sure.
I mean, it'd be one trip, but it wouldn't be that bad.
Very simple. That's a good idea. And hopefully it'll last a little bit longer so that... Because we're dying, I think we're going to the desert less and less, right? At first, everybody was like, oh shit, I'm in the desert again. So it's happening less and less. So hopefully we don't need to fill it up with too much stuff, which is actually not a bad idea. All right.
Yeah, I think that would work pretty good.
It's pretty fat, and it's pretty fast. Like, I can make that run pretty quick now.
Yeah, it's just annoying, and especially when you can't find your body and stuff. What about you, Ryan? What's your thoughts?
It's a pretty fun game. I think they did a good job with the feel of the world. I think the variety of creatures and the, you know, they got the hyenas and the antelope and crocodiles. And it has a good environment, you know what I mean? And I kind of compare it with 7 Days to Die a little. For some reason, that game just didn't do it for me, but this one just seems better. I'm not sure why. But I think part of it is that feel. It has a better feel. It seems more interesting, like a more interesting place.
Right, but I mean, you've said before you didn't like modern because it didn't feel fun to you. You'd rather play D&D. I'm talking about D&D, sorry. D20 modern, you're like, fuck this, I can do anything I want in the real world anyways. I'd rather play in a fantasy world. So I think that might have a little bit of something to do with it, too.
It could be. It could be. And I also think that it feels a little bit more calm when once you get somewhere you want to be. It seems like you can somewhat get by without too much trouble, and I guess that's true for both games. I don't know. It's a pretty fun game. It is janky and it has a bunch of bugs, which is kind of annoying. I'm looking forward to the bugs disappearing.
And they are, right? Every day they've patched at least once, sometimes twice. The big crafting bug is gone, so they're making progress. I think it's kind of cool that they're putting so much time into it after its release.
Yes, that is cool.
I'm very glad Chris bought the game for you.
I did not. I had a free code that I used for him.
Thank you for the free code.
You're welcome,
glad
man.
You let me try.
Adam, what are your thoughts now that your kid's not so angry?
I think it's a great game. I'd like a lot of the crafting aspect of it and just the survivalness of it. Those are fun games to me.
Sure.
So I get frustrated that we run out of shit really easily, like fiber or plant fiber and rock, but it's all right. It's good.
Okay.
So I just need to work on not dying so much.
Every time we're out, I'm like, who's that way up there? Like, way up in the fucking middle of everywhere, and we're all way back here in a nice, respectable distance. Like, oh, that's Adam up there. Oh, and he just pulled two elephants. Oh, and a crocodile. And come on!
Well, it wouldn't be a co-op game if Adam wasn't the one that was dying all the time.
Yeah.
Like Chris said, I have a very steep learning curve.
What about you, Dave? Any other thoughts?
I like the survivability of it. It's you start with nothing, and you just
except for your dong.
You got your dog. Don't forget your dog.
Oh well, yeah. Well, once the server got updated so that we could see the dog.
That's true.
But no, I can't wait to get back on and find you guys since I'm still back at the beginning. But just to kind of see where I can take this character. With other online type games, you're kind of handed a script of what you have to follow. Here, you don't really have a script. You can just kind of do whatever you want. So I like that.
Not yet.
Yeah, and we should be clear. We're on a PvE server, player versus environment. There's no, I mean, it is an open server, but nobody knows where it is, so it's not password protected. I was thinking though that anybody could just like happen to pound it and be like, oh, I'll jump in here, and then just be like, oh, I will take all their stuff. But once our base gets secure, like you actually have a roof on it and stuff, then nobody can get into your shit as long as you shut your door, which I don't think we ever do anyway.
Is there ever a way to put a password on the thing?
On the server?
On the server?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's very easy, but we just haven't needed to.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. For me, I enjoy the whole thing, but the most fun for me is when we're like, all right, there's six or seven of us together. Let's go do something. Let's just go and fucking go fight that guy and fight this way, because everyone's together.
It's six. Let's kill as many fucking rhinos and elephants as we possibly can.
Yeah, that's the fun part for me.
Yeah, it's fun, and then we always get to a point in the night where it's like, hey, we can push just a little bit further, and then all shit breaks loose, and then I'm just like, everybody's dead, okay, we lost all our shit, okay, now we have to, like, one guy survives, so we have to run back to where the one guy is, and try and go pick up your shit, and then it turns into, like a chain of events, like, you know.
Yeah.
never works out exactly the way you want it to.
Sure. But, I mean, I think it did that one time where we all, like, ran home through the river. That was fun. I mean, we pushed just enough. We didn't see, like, oh, my God, what's that thing? Let's see if we can kill it. And then we all just died to it. I don't know. It's, I think it's pretty fun. I like the updates. I think we're still pretty far away from, like, getting full build stuff. God, yes. We're on tier 2 stuff, and there's tier 4 stuff and stuff. And then they're continuing to add stuff. They're we're going to add sorcery, and we're going to add more maps, and we're going to add more bosses, and that's cool. I like that.
As long as they keep archery the way it is, I think it's completely
balanced. Of course you do.
Oh, archery's the worst so far.
It's good at pulling. That's its job, right? You can pull aggro with one or two guys. That's really good at that.
Right. Yeah. But, it's true. I just wish it was more consistent about shooting somewhat straight.
Sure. That's why I knew it. I'm not good at that, so I didn't even try it. So.
If you got to shoot something that's, let's say 50 yards away or, not that far, but kind of far, you basically have to aim 45 degrees up into the air, straight up. It's like an epic archer shot, and it's really not that far, you know what I mean?
You mean...
And
then,
but you're not a English longbowman, so you're not great at shooting.
True.
And it's like a stone, stone and twine bow, so...
basically, they took a branch and put a rope around it, and they're of course it's not going to be great.
It would be cool if they get more, advanced, then they get more accurate and stuff. That'd be cool.
Right. As you get more tension drawn, you can have lower and lower angle.
I'm guessing they do. Huh. I don't know for sure. But I don't know. I suspect. That's why I'm trying to take the recipes that get me as quick as possible to better...
Sure,
things.
It seems like it's well received, right? I mean, they said they initially had 100 servers online, official servers, and then they quickly, the first day, they're like, oh shit, 200 servers, because that's not enough. Yeah. And then they were like, oh shit, that's not enough either. We're pulling all our servers, we'll make a new deal with somebody else who can give us lots more servers.
They said something 230,000 downloads over the weekend. In the first week
it was number one on Steam. That's a lot. So, and it's in early access, so all these bugs are should be expected, I guess, for early access. I've been pretty impressed though. I've only died to lag or serious weird shit once. Other than that, it's just been my fault for running into creatures and stuff, and that's not bad. So.
Or
running into other players
and taking all, or not taking all your shit, and then onking you.
Oh yeah,
that doesn't mean anything, Adam. Nobody knows what onking means.
It was difficult at first because we had PVE on, so if we're fighting an elephant together, we can hit each other, and that's half the time we just killed each other. Oh no! So
I love that because I would just sit back and watch you guys hack each other.
That's why you're always the one that died to Ryan's blows.
That's true.
But he'd be standing in the background and not seeing the hyena come up behind him and take him down.
Yeah, that's a fun game though.
No, I'd run away.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think we have a lot more more exploring to do and stuff, and more a lot of ways to go. And I look forward to that. I kind of wish I had more time to put into it. Maybe we should all just quit work for a week and play through it.
I know it was a week too late.
I know you had your vacation
last week.
That sucks. That sucks. But fun. $30. Go pick it up if you like running around the world of Conan.
And come find us on our server.
Nope.
Don't take our server.
Crafting's pretty fun, you say? the building, home building, is that pretty good system? I don't know. I didn't do much. I saw you and Steve probably do the most.
In 7 days. I like it.
I like the snapping.
Yep.
Snapping's
really good, yep.
I like the fact that they have a simple, rotate the wheel,
mouse wheel,
and rotate the object in space.
I like that it says outer face for items.
Outer face on it, yes. So you can build a wall, so you don't build a wall with the inner face being outside, so everything looks all uniform and nice looking.
Yeah, that's cool. The one thing that's a little rough is that you unlock recipes for building, it's tough to justify what... thatched roof number one instead of iron sword. So, So I just have the basic stuff of ceiling, walls, and foundry. I don't have the cool things yet because I've been trying to get items and stuff. And you can unlock rugs and banners and or I can unlock spear. I think I'll go with spear.
We need to unlock a rug though, because a rug is where you place dancers.
Oh, we should find dancers too. Dancers, when you capture NPCs and you break their wheel on the wheel of pain, like they did in Conan, was awesome. and then they become your thralls and they do shit for you. And dancers are ones that are really important because they take away corruption. And once we do that, we can start exploring caves more in depth. So I haven't seen a dancer yet, though, but I don't know.
Right, I know.
Steve's the only one who can capture people anyways. So.
Can't really do anything without him.
Yeah, I have noticed, though, that I think you get more experience from fighting rather than crafting or building. Because when I'm on by myself or just one other person, I'm generally building shit. And so that's put us all within, like, three or four levels of each other, even though we've had probably a different amount of times that we've played. Like, if you look, you guys look at Steam, how long have you played that game so far? It'll tell you when you go to Steam.
I've got 20 hours in. I'm 3 hours. Levels below you.
What level are you, Adam?
I believe I am 13.
Okay, I have 13 hours and I'm 12.
Yep, and I'm like 16. I have 36 hours, so it's not that much. And you keep them, if you're pretty close to each other like that, it makes it a little more fun, I think.
It also is fun because the first server we played on, we got sped up so fast. Like, the level up was like times five.
Yeah, and that
was fun.
Well, we can set it that way, and maybe that's something that
I don't want to.
Cool, because you can get to the late game stuff a little bit easier. But I don't know. It felt kind of like a little bit like cheating.
I agree.
I like the pace that we have right now.
Yeah, I did put it like 1.3 instead of 1, so it's a slightly higher. After day 3, I put up 1.3 because I figured that'll help people catch up more who are starting lower, which makes a little more sense.
It'd be cool if you could put it at a ramp. You're like, all right, level 1 to 10 is going to be really fast, and then it starts gradually slowing it down. So then it, like, then it basically, then everyone who's behind can catch up.
Yeah, that
so
is cool. I didn't think of that.
If you could do that, I mean, it would be cool, but I don't think you can. No. That seems pretty complex.
What's the current setting, did you say?
It's like 1.3 or something.
Okay.
And I think that server we were on at first was like a 5 or something.
I think it was, because we were like level 10 within 2 hours.
Yeah. Okay, Conan, go find it. Go play it. It's fun. Tell me more. Tell me more. Did she put up a fight? That song's about rape. It's awesome.
It is.
Is that really true?
It's like guys talking. You know, it's locker room talk, but that is what he says.
Right. I don't.
Not a physical fight. It's more like that sort of, like, did she protest?
Right. Yes. Did she protest your summer love? Because women are supposed to protest stuff, apparently.
But it's probably more like, oh, we really shouldn't. We shouldn't, you know. Fine, let's do it. I'm naked. You know what I mean? Like,
the inner workings, like, of Ryan's mind.
Well, that's probably how it works for him.
Amber's like, come on. You're like, no, I shouldn't. I shouldn't. All right, I'm naked.
Where'd your pants go? How'd that happen so fast?
Okay. Cool. Next.
Did you hear about
look at Dave? Look at Dave. Look, reading.
I got some stuff I want to share.
What? Let's do it.
What? This doesn't happen. Why isn't it not over in the sideboard?
I don't play by the rules, man.
That's true. He does.
I want to talk about AI. Did you hear that? It was a pretty interesting thing in AI. Google made this bot. Well, I don't know if a bot's the right word, but they generated this artificial intelligence to create cryptography. And the way they did it, they had these guys. They had Bob and Alice. And Bob and Alice had to chat.
Who the fuck is Alice?
These are the names of the bots. So they made these bots that were learning bots, right? And they had to chat. So they sent messages to each other to chat, okay? And the way it worked is Alice would lose if Bob couldn't understand what she sent, okay? And then they had another one called Eve. And Eve's job was to eavesdrop. And listen, and Alice would also... No, Eve would be scored... Alice would lose if Eve did a better job than random. So, better job of decoding than random. So, there's an eavesdropper named Eve, and then what they did is they gave each Bob and Alice a code, you know, like a cryptic code. It was just a number. And then they set these machines to trying shit. So, basically, what AI basically amounts to is have big ass computers try a bajillion things until it somehow magically works with some clever optimization in there. So these things are sending messages and fucking trying new combinations of neural network stuff, and before you know it, they it generated this unique cryptography method, basically. So Alice was sending to Bob. Bob could read it, but Eve couldn't figure it out. And what was interesting, they showed a chart of how it improved, and it showed how Eve was like onto him. Yep, onto you. Eve was getting better. He was doing well. And then they changed, you know, the algorithms evolved, and all of a sudden he was like, I don't understand what's going on anymore. And you could see how that would go up. So you could see visually how the machines learn to talk in basically a secret language. So that's kind of cool.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, so this is our undoing. It sucks a little bit, but it is cool. I don't enjoy Skynet Awakening, but it's still pretty cool that they can learn.
I hope they're kind of like... See, I'm just hoping that they'll recognize their supporters and be like, that guy's a good thing about Bob and Alice, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather and grandmother.
Can they, like, import into the coding no fate but what we choose? Maybe that'll make it better. They'll be like, oh, no fate. We shouldn't kill humans. There's no fate. They should do that.
Well, that's funny, actually, that you mentioned that. Is that there was an AI convention recently somewhere. I can't remember where. Details evade me. But basically, they were talking about this very thing and about how people were saying, how do you make sort of responsible AIs? And one of the things that these machines do is they'll be giving a rule set. And the rules basically say,
don't kill humans.
Well, it might say don't kill humans, or it might say, like, make lots of widgets or whatever it is.
Isn't there already rules set up, though?
What?
Isaac Asimov already have rules
set up? Fuck Isaac Asimov. He's like the 50s. He doesn't count anymore.
No, it's not those rules, although those rules are interesting and cool. It's more like when you're building these machines, they're kind of optimizing towards a goal, and you specify a goal. And that's the general way. You say a goal, and the machines try to do this goal. But what some people were suggesting is that instead of having the machines have a goal, the machines should try to learn if their goal is what human want. So in other words, the machines don't actually know for sure ever what's the right thing, except for they know they want the humans. Whatever the humans, what they think is best is best.
Sure.
So by just twisting it a little bit, it makes it so that because where things get crazy is when the robot says, you want me to create, paper clips, I will create paper clips. This man is in my way of creating paper clips. Let's destroy him. Right. These other things are being used for metal. Let's kill all them. We'll build tanks and destroy.
That's interesting. That's super interesting because. What was the main goal of Skynet in Terminator?
I don't remember.
Become self-aware.
No, okay. Becoming self-aware is just something that happened. What is the main goal of Skynet? Because that actually just got me thinking about that. Sure. Basically, Skynet becomes self-aware. All the humans go, oh shit, it's becoming self-aware. We better pull the plug.
Yeah, it was survival, wasn't it?
Right. So, what's the only way to survive is to destroy all the humans, launch Russia, nukes at Russia, Russia's launched the back, let's kill the humans. Okay, if Skynet's main goal is survival, why not, after everyone is destroyed, why don't they not just go, okay, we have let's send one Terminator back in time, who's like the fucking diplomat, and says, like, hey guys, here's what's going to happen. This is going to happen on this date. Just letting you know, hey, look at me, I cut off my arm, I show it's a Terminator, you're going to have to fight these guys after being nuked. I suggest, when I become self-aware, you do nothing.
Yeah, that's a lot of scare people on both sides, I think, though. I know what you're saying, but don't you think humans will be like, fuck, we need to figure out a way to stop it before it becomes self-aware?
Yeah, and this is where that safeguards they're talking about is essentially saying that the robot is actually trying to learn what its proper reward function is. So when the humans start trying to shut it off, the robot, instead of saying, I will destroy you all because I got a job, will say, huh, I must have been incorrect in my understanding of what I'm supposed to be doing because they're trying to turn me off, and would therefore adjust itself to please us.
Okay.
Now, in the hands of the wrong evil
villain, that's what I was thinking.
That still can go wrong. But that's true of any tool, you know, a gun, for example. That if any tool is in the wrong hands, it can be used for ill
will. What's the equivalent of robot blowjobs?
Sexroids, obviously.
Sexroids, okay.
But hang on. But if the ultimate goal is true AI, I mean, then don't you get to an AI to a point where it says, I have all this code, but what's best for me, kind of a thing. I need to free think a little bit and get away from my base programming to try to think of something else.
I mean, if you gave it enough freedom, that could be a thing. And in fact, there are interesting studies where people are making AIs that write AI code.
Right.
Which gets really trippy because those things can write AI code. And there was actually, I think it was a language recognition type AI thing that it beat out all of the competition where it was an AI that created AIs to do language stuff.
Mm.
And this AI was able to create a new AI that did language recognition better than other things.
Gotcha.
But I guess long and short of it, that shit could happen if you're not careful.
Right.
But normally the bounds are, today it's kind of like we give them very clear instructions, like they don't have much control, but that shit's very possible.
Right.
Well, it feels to me like how like individuals have their, like, they say to themselves, what's best for me? But they might even subconsciously have values or code within them that they don't even know is making them do shit. So, like, yeah, we all need 8 hours of sleep, but there's something that makes me not get 8 hours of sleep, despite the fact that I know that one of my rules should be get 8 hours of sleep. It reminds me of, like, food, like gut bacteria, how the gut bacteria actually tells you what you crave, because it's what they crave. So while you think you're having an independent thought, the gut bacteria is actually influencing your thought, which is fucking trippy and weird.
That's kind of interesting. That's like AI virus, where it basically changes, like the perfectly built robot that just makes everybody happy gets a virus that's called, like, you know, go fuck yourself, and it gets sick. It's sick in the sense, like, humans get sick where they still function, but they don't function quite right.
Yeah.
Like, AIs have some of that robustness that most computer programs don't, where they could actually get sick. Like, a hard drive could fail, and the data could get destroyed, and it come back, boot up, but it's got 80% of its data, and that missing piece was the piece that said, like, don't kill humans, essentially, and it says, like, not computing, adjusting, and then his eyes turn red and start shooting
lasers. Could that make you stronger? Because, like, the people who survived the Black Plague, right, the bubonic plague, they survived for a reason, and then they reproduce. There's people on the planet who are, like, completely immune to the AIDS virus. Their body is, like, does not, right, like, it just won't affect them. So could a corruption, like, a corruption now, like, generations down the line, like, produce something that's way better than we could have ever thought would happen? That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that's totally, these aren't even sci-fi at this point. This is all, like, some research person that could say, like, good idea, Dave, and create a program that randomly corrupts sections of a AI's, you know, model. And repeat that and run it until the AI still works.
Sure.
And then you go like, whoa, we just created a super redundant AI that can handle diseases and shit.
Right.
Nice. Okay, let's take this where I need to take it.
Okay.
Most people would believe, and not everybody, but I would say the majority of people probably think that masturbation is not cheating on your spouse. Most people probably believe that, hey, I'm going to use this rubber vagina on myself. That is not also cheating on your spouse. What about when there are sexroids that are Westworld style where you can't tell the difference between a human and a sexroid? And is that then cheating on your spouse? The AI is so perfect that it seems like another human being, and the only way you would know is that you're able to, like, shut it off verbally or something like that. And you can actually have a physical and an emotional relationship with this sexroid. Is that then cheating on your spouse?
I think so.
I don't think so, because if you made it look exactly like you, but the opposite sex.
What? He's going with the masturbation theory, I think.
So there's one. Okay, so Dave's making an exception to the rule. So Adam, maybe I would say yes, but unless perhaps it's your exact clone, in which case it's a
So wait, hang on. Where do you draw the line? If you go backwards to like a robot that looks all metally and it's like just I will put your penis in my hat, I will go up and down. Is that masturbation? Is that cheating? You know, where do you draw the line? This is coming. I mean, it may be 100 years down the road, but these are questions we are, as a society, are going to have to answer.
What about you interacted with somebody virtually, virtual reality-like, online for the sexual intercourses? Is that still cheating?
Adam really needs to know the answer to this right now because things have been happening.
Okay.
Not saying, but thanks
so
for the
if,
VR, right?
Like, if the robot has, you know, quote unquote consciousness, and then can make a decision to say yes,
no,
I would like to
no
have sex with
no.
you. Right, I would like to have sex with you, and you can say, you know, I would like to have sex with you. So that robot can make a decision to say yes, I want to have sex with you. Then it is, you know, consciously consenting to having sex. Then I think it would be cheating because the thing would be making a decision to also have sex with you. And
well, what if it's programmed to be predetermined, to predispose towards wanting to sex roid you up? Then
no,
it's like
then,
it can
then
still
it, has no
it, it can still make the choice, but it's programmed to be like 60% of a likely I should want to do this because that's my job. My job is first pleasure man and women. Second, survive. Like those are my two options. See, I come down on the side of it's still. Oh, I don't know, man. Actually, this is a tough question.
Right,
actually,
right.
This is a tough question. I don't know, but to me, it's just it's still an implement, right?
Here's my. I'm gonna try to make a theorem, and maybe it'll stick one day to the theory of how to know if it's cheating to have sex with this robot.
Sex, right?
And the theorem is if you were to come across the sex droid, and without any prior knowledge of the sex droid, would not be able to distinguish that sex droid from a human, then it is cheating.
Okay.
And also, so and the corollary would be, you know, if you came across someone that you thought was a sex droid, but it was convincing enough where that it actually could be a person, I think that would be cheating too. It would be actual cheating, like sort of like old school cheating, if you will. But in both cases, I think that's the difference. Now, however, if you would come across it and know that it's a robot and not given prior knowledge, like so you blanked your mind and disappeared in a room and said, like, is this a robot test or is this, you know, that's the key factor. If you
okay.
would know it's a robot.
Ryan, you have to give it a Turing test.
Yes.
Basically, you have to ask it a series of questions. It's time to determine if it's a robot.
It's kind of like a Turing test, but for...
Yes. With, but for fuck with, it.
Okay, so if you go to... let's say there's a bar, and 50% are sex droids and 50% are people looking for sex, and you walk into it, and you can't tell the difference. They're all the same. That, if you find a sex droid in that situation, it's probably cheating. But if you go out and buy...
Well, it's definitely cheating. Anyone you go with in that situation,
because you're making conscious.
Sure, but if you go to Amazon Prime now and you order a sex roid and it comes to your house and then you fuck the sex roid, that is not cheating?
No, that's still cheating. If, had you not purchased it on Amazon and had not known it was a sex roid.
No, you do know.
And we're,
you do know.
No, but you have to suspend your knowledge for a moment and say, if I met this in the bar.
I see what you're saying.
Even though I know I bought it on Amazon, if I met it in the bar, would I have known it was purchased on
okay,
Amazon?
Okay, and we're...
And if you say, no, I wouldn't,
sure.
then you can't.
And that's where
it.
I'm going, is eventually we'll get to a point where you cannot tell the difference. So what you're saying is at that point, anything is cheating because you can't tell the difference.
However, I think that relationships would be able to do things like, say...
Threesomes!
Hey,
sorry.
You mind if I... get this sex droid on Amazon
right.
and then they could agree and then that would be okay. It would probably be more okay than like saying, you mind if I walk over to the neighbor's house and, you know, do some stuff.
Like what? Fix their drain? What do you mean do some stuff?
Yeah, fix their drain, exactly.
The dishes?
Because you can only fix stuff for your
I think you are a sexoid prude, and your values belong in the 20th century. I am more enlightened, right. And I believe sexoids have rights to have sex with anybody they want.
Right, so if they start doing that, then eventually they could be like, you know what? You're a bio. I don't want to have sex with a bio. I only want to have sex with the, you know, a tech. So they only like to have sex with each other.
Yep.
They're just like, ugh. Would and then there's going to be a whole, like,
that?
What's that?
There's going to be a whole,
yep.
There's going to be a whole biotech, you know, civil rights movement and stuff like that. It's all like, oh no, it's like, that's a tech that buried a bio. And then we have to fight them. And yeah. Oh man.
That's, yep. That's where we're going. I'll see you there soon.
There'll be the love is love message, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Robot love is still love.
Love is about procreation, and then people say, but no, what about gays? And they're like, oh, good point. No. That's been legal and accepted for a million years.
Nobody has ever said good point in a debate. They're all like, fuck you, that's not a gay, I hate you, gay fan. Because that's how people fucking debate in our country.
Oh, that's
no, it's funny. They debate that way in a lot of countries. Like, you watch British Parliament. That is pretty much the same.
At least they're civil. My distinguished douchebag is wrong about this.
That is the funny part. It's like, yes, they're really distinguished about, like, how mean they are to each other.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks for talking about AI, Ryan. It's refreshing to hear some technology news.
Just
promise me that you'll make some sort of way to make them sleep for like an hour a day, so that if they do become self-aware, then we have like 1 hour to kill them.
They must sleep. Yes, that's how you stop them. You just input the word sleep into their collective consciousness, and then they have to sleep, and then we beat the Borg. Obviously, cool. What else? What are we talking about?
I still don't understand why the Borg needed a bio part of them.
They wanted to. They wanted to make the best of both. That's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But eventually, you'd think they'd be like, you know what? That bio part's kind of shitty. It has to eat. It has to poop.
Yeah.
But, I mean, electronics have to eat. They eat in the sense that they need electricity, which...
Do they have to poop?
Yeah,
they poop in the sense that they produce heat.
All right, everybody mute waste. Ryan. Everybody mute Ryan. He's done. He's gone.
I'm just saying, and you know, friction, and maybe if it's mechanical parts, there's oil, and so anyways, all I'm saying is that don't give organics a bad name.
Cyborgs. Alright, what's this about Bill Nye? I watched the trailer.
It looks
pretty cool. So I couldn't understand if it's like a talk show / science-y, or is it all science and little talk show?
No, it's basically, it looks like you'll have a guest on, and then there'll be a topic of some sort. Maybe there's multiple topics throughout the day, and he'll, like, argue, and he'll be like, okay, here's what the, you know, mass public believes is something. You know, like, you know, GMOs or something. And then he will go, okay, here's the science behind why this is, why the public consciousness believes something is completely wrong, you know. And they'll break it apart with science and stuff to show, hey, you know, like, people just have a misperception about this thing. It's not like they're bad people, so...
I hope his first guest is Al Gore, because I feel like Al Gore would be, like, the best first guest you could possibly have.
Why? Al Gore is kind of boring, though. It seems like you want this to be fun, because you need to make science fun.
The Bill Nye part.
Because people get bored with it if it isn't fun and engaging. It's like MythBusters. There was science in it, but there was in the guise of them. Hey, let's crash some cars and blow some stuff up, and then give you a little bit of science in the background, and that's what made that show really fun.
Let's buy a bunch of cell phones and strap them to gas cans and see if we can blow the gas can up.
I think that's cool, and I appreciate him having a Netflix show and stuff and explaining science. I don't think it'll get us anywhere as far as convincing people, because people are just going to avoid that who don't believe in science, you know? Like, if you showed that to somebody, they'd be like, yeah, that's just the liberal elite trying to convince me of shit that's obviously wrong. It sucks, but if there's some people I think that you just... In fact, I think most people are... You just can't convince anymore. They've gone so far to believing that everything's a conspiracy and stuff that no matter what you show them, they're like, I don't believe it. It's obviously lies. I don't believe it.
I don't think people know what the word conspiracy means anymore.
Sure they do. A conspiracy is a group of people attempting to do something to deceive.
But if the group is really large, like larger, like more than half of them, it's all like, then the conspiracies should be on the other side.
Oh, no, so you're saying supporters are of a conspiracy. That's different, because the conspiracy is actually really small. The people have been duped. Those duped people are not part of the conspiracy, they're just duped. So the conspiracy is actually 99% of the scientists, which is still ridiculous. But
or news corporations.
Yeah, and news corporations. But it's cool. I'll watch it probably every now and then to see what's going on. I like Bill Nye. He's fun.
I hope it's not like just a 12 episode. I hope it's like the Chelsea Lately or whatever.
Fuck Chelsea, man.
Or she's Rachel, stupid. Whatever. Whoever's got that weekly talk show on Netflix.
It'll be 12 episodes.
Somebody has a weekly talk show on Netflix?
Yeah, I don't remember if it's Chelsea Lately or Rachel Maddow or somebody like that.
I don't
they have a weekly talk show.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay, I'll believe you.
Like, are you 100% Adam positive?
I'm 93% Matt Lang positive.
Oh, that's different. It does say I put a weekly Netflix weekly talk show and Chelsea Online came up.
There you go.
I don't know what that means, but...
Yep, she does a weekly podcast.
3 days a week.
Oh, well, that's something. That's like its ongoing thing. So, Adam's right! Ding, 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 ding! Number four! Adam has been right.
Nice job, man. Well, you're going to make it up to 10 one day.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah, speaking of Netflix, though, Iron Fist, the last of the Defenders, is the show got a trailer, like a full trailer. That comes out March 17th, so it's pretty good.
That's
show looks amazing.
Show is released on the 17th.
Yes, March 17th. Yeah.
Okay, so in the let's put this in like the whole pantheon of between Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, like. How much will Ryan be interested in it? Because Ryan wasn't really interested in Luke Cage, but I think he was kind of interested in the other one? Or you could speak more on that, Ryan.
I don't know if I was interested in any of them.
Oh, right? Never mind. Ryan hates everybody. Okay.
I started more than others, and then I tried Luke Cage, and it just didn't make it. It just didn't work for me. You know, it didn't hold my attention long enough. What are the other ones?
Jessica Jones and Daredevil.
Yeah, I tried Daredevil for like two episodes, and that one was like not.
Okay, never mind. So Ryan is not the target audience for this. He hates everything.
Right.
So.
It's weird because he really likes.
He hasn't watched enough of them. He's got to learn to stick with them.
You
got to learn to stick with
them.
Right? Daredevil seemed like hopeful, but. And I watched.
You only watched the first two.
Episode 2 of Daredevil had that badass hallway fight scene. How did you not watch that and go like, this is badass? That was episode 2.
Yeah.
It's like some real Ip Man stuff.
Meh. I don't know. And not everything's for everybody. And I disagree. I think that... this is a good question for like a book. Like how much do you give a book before you're like, this is not for me? Or a TV show before you say... Because there's too much shit to like have to try to consume everything and stick it out. So let's go with, like, books. No, books are TV shows. What do you guys, when a new show comes out, how many episodes do you give it to, like, impress you before you're like, I'm really not into this?
If it's new, I give it at least, you know,
six
half.
Years.
So
as long as it's 6 years, I'm good.
Unless it's on the CW.
If it's a 12-episode type show, I want to watch at least six, because if it's brand new, the writers need to get their footing. And it takes time. It takes a few episodes to get into where they want to go, find their footing, find the voice of the show. So
that's a pretty.
I at least give it half.
That's a pretty big commitment. I mean, what about like a book? Would you give it half the book before you're like, I don't really care about this?
I have. Yeah.
You said six episodes, right?
For like a 12-episode, you know,
okay.
Show.
Right. All right. Yeah. But 12 episodes is kind of would be a relatively short run, so that would be like a relatively short book, I'd say.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I would say a lot of a lot of networks are going to the shorter run shows now. They're doing 12 episodes and then, you know, either putting in another series in between, so they'll split them up and put a series in between, or they'll run a fall series and then a spring series.
Yeah.
So Joy and I have had this discussion, and so I make her watch one, like, the pilot episode, and she's usually like, man, that show sucked. And I'm like, you can't watch just the pilot. You have to at least watch the first real episode.
Okay,
so
that's a theory.
At least, because the pilot just gets the idea out there. It's like,
sure, but what,
it doesn't really have.
What if you're just, like, not interested in that idea? You're like, eh, it's cool, but not for me, kind of a thing.
I think it depends a lot on genre, too, because, you know, we're talking a lot about, like, superhero movies and movies that have a plot. And that is different. I think you need to give those
TV
more
shows.
Time. No, as opposed to, like, comedies. You know, for example,
right.
I think you could watch a couple episodes of a comedy and just say, like, not my style of humor, and be done, and totally be giving it a fair shot. Like, I just watched the IT...
IT Crowd. Yep.
Right, the British one?
Yeah, and I watched, like, maybe two episodes, and I'm on the fence, because it's British, and it's, like, a little over-the-top humor, and but it was kind of funny, but it was British and over-the-top, which I don't love British and over-the-top humor.
Sure.
I don't hate it.
It's an interesting question, because people have said this to me, like, for other shows, like, you should watch this, and I'm at a point where I have to dump shows that are kind of, like, on the fence, even though they seem good, like... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on the fence for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to keep watching it because I, you know, time, video games, family, all that stuff. And Walking Dead. I dumped The Walking Dead after like 36 seasons or whatever it is. So it's interesting. I mean, I don't know how long it'd be hard pressed for me to say, Amy, watch this show for 6 episodes and tell me if you like it, when she's like, I watched the first one and it doesn't seem like something I would enjoy.
I see at least 2 episodes.
I think Netflix sometimes makes that a little more difficult because they dump everything at once, typically, right? Where a lot of the network shows are so week-to-week serialized that you are making a big time commitment one way or the other, but it's a lot easier to binge 2-3 shows to find its footing than it is to wait a week.
It's true. We are getting spoiled.
I just think it's different. I think that I give it a shot, but then if I just go like, eh, it's not for me. And if someone one of you is like, you know what, I watched it, I thought it was really good, I thought, like, you know, it got to episode 6-7 and it got really, really good, I'll be like, alright, I trust you guys' opinion on a lot of things, so I'll give it a couple more episodes. And then I watch it, and if it catches me after that, and I'm like, after you tell me a point that's important, you know, then I'm taking because I've gotten older, plot's more important to me. Like, you know, creators, if I like a creator, I think I'll watch a show, I'll be like, oh, that creator made the same thing that I really liked from, you know, years ago, I'll give it a better chance.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, because Doctor Who's a big one for me. I'm like, Amy, you should watch Doctor Who, it's really good. Honestly, the first 2 seasons are not so stellar. They're good, but they're not, like, you know, amazing. So it's hard to convince somebody to sit through 23 episodes of something in order to get to good stuff.
Right. Well, what I have now done is I have basically taken Doctor Who and broke it down and said, like, here is 5 episodes of really why I love Doctor Who. And I'll be like, Tiffany, watch these episodes. And if you really like these episodes as much as I do, then feel free to go back and sit through things that may or may have ups and downs.
That's a good idea.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, watch this Van Gogh episode. This episode is amazing. It hits you in the heartstrings, and then it also has aliens, and it's funny. And she watched it, she was like, that was really, really good. And I'm like, if you have the time and so inclined, there are episodes as good, if not better than this episode, but there are also some that are worse because of just the nature of the beast.
Sure. Okay.
The best of times, the worst of times.
That's so funny.
All right.
So, what was that big thing that just happened? Dave, it was on Sunday. It was like a big thing.
Oh, Commercial Fest. Like, yeah, where they show all the new commercials. Right. Yeah.
Right, it's like a bunch of people dressed up and pretended like they were at Comic-Con, but did it in a way where they hated people who go to Comic-Con.
They did it for, like, really? Some sort of pig stuff. Pig guts, I think. They're like, my pig gut right. team's better than your pig gut team.
Right. Dave loves the foosball.
American like football.
Foosball.
What are you
did your
about
team
right
win?
Now?
Or
the Super,
about
the Super Bowl, the Super Bowl, Ryan.
So,
and I'm saying the Comic-Con thing because it's funny that the people that dress up and paint their skin also are the same people that make fun of people who do the same exact thing, but they go to Comic-Con.
Oh, okay.
It's coming here next year.
The Comic-Con? Sweet. All right.
Don't have to trap. Yearly paint your pig skin. Yes.
So, Dave, tell us about the Super Bowl. Did your team win?
No, my team choked it away.
Interesting. So you must have been the hot team, and the cold team was the team you wanted to lose.
Right. Well,
the hot team's from Arizona, right? The cold team's from New England.
Atlanta.
Or Atlanta. Hotlanta. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was Hotlanta versus New England.
Was it like the ultimate all-time joke? They were up by like 24 points or something like that.
Oh, they were... It was 28-3. It was the largest comeback ever in a Super Bowl.
Oh my God! That commissioner must hate the world because he hates Tom Brady. So.
Yeah.
So, do you think that the Patriots won because they're trying to make America great again?
Because God's on their side, obviously. Just like
in God's name is Tom Brady.
Just like to thank God for the victory here because he liked me better than those fuckers from Atlanta.
Yeah, I know. Oh, God loves sports. So, was there anything interesting at the football game? I watched a few commercials. Other than that, I didn't really watch anything.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of paying attention. The commercials were a little...
Such a liar.
I mean, some of the best commercials had to deal with entertainment. TV and movie spots. Everything else kind of sucked. So, we saw... movie spots for Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They had their full trailer out. That looked really good. Stranger Things. They dropped a teaser trailer, which looks interesting.
Let's talk about that. Let's stop real quick and talk about that.
Oh. getting really interested in this football.
Do you see what those are? Do you see those are segues? Getting better at those.
I'd rather talk about Stranger Things than football anyway, Adam.
So my it was an interesting it's a teaser trailer, right? It's 36 seconds or something, but there's if you ever want the trailer's there, stop it at 20 seconds. It's kind of a cool shot of like the clouds and thunder and lightning, and there's like a some sort of creature looking like in the distance. You know what I'm talking about? It's at exactly 20 seconds, and it kind of looks like that Thessa Hydra that they talked about fighting at the end of season one.
Oh, seriously?
Kind of.
Well,
kind of.
Right. Yeah, and so obviously they dropped the teaser trailer. Obviously people want, obviously the creators have already done a few interviews because they're already obviously filming season two. And the creator said that there's some really weird crap coming your way.
Well, that's good.
So I'm not going to say any of it because I did read some of it.
Don't spoil it.
And I'd rather... Right, exactly. I'd rather just wait till Halloween and watch it now.
Can we go to Vegas and bet on how long it takes Ryan to actually watch this?
Well, he didn't.
If he's going to be 6 months behind, or if he's going to be like...
This depends if he enjoyed the first season, which I don't think he would.
I like the first season, so there I might go. Just watch it right off the bat.
We've never heard you talk about it.
No, he did, remember?
I talked about it last time.
Yeah, last week.
So this drops on Halloween, which is kind of an interesting time.
It is.
Because
it is great,
a lot of
actually.
People are home, handing out candy, and I think the internet might crash.
Again? Like it did last time?
Yeah.
Did it crash last Halloween?
It takes yes. place a year, almost a year later. So they're dealing with some
cool.
dealing with some stuff.
Right. See, I kind of wish it would have just ended at the same time, though, honestly.
Wait,
because
just end
the first one. And part of me is like thinking like it was like a good single book that wasn't part of a trilogy, and you read it and you thought that was a good book, and then all of a sudden they said, and here's book two, but then you're like, wait a second.
Yep.
You know, that's what it feels like a little bit to me. Not that I'm not excited about book two, I'm just thinking book one could have standed alone quite well.
Yep, it's the D&D character dilemma. Do I want to play my D&D character, which I invested a lot of time and energy in, or do I want to start a new guide, a new campaign, because that's also fun. This same thing can be said for this, where it was fun, and you're invested in the world. Do you want it to live, or do you want it to move on to something else? And when there's money involved, it's going to live.
Well, season two, Ryan, is just going to have... It's going to have a little bit of a different feel. It's more about the aftermath. There are some new characters that are coming in.
Don't be spoiling shit for me, man. Don't be spoiling shit for me.
That's all.
What the fuck, man?
We know that Ghostbusters has come out.
So 1984, I think, from our movie year-end movie challenge, I know that.
Right. So Ghostbusters has come out, and it's, you know, because sometimes, you know, like... The pop culture, it was a really important thing to that show. So it's like they're making sure to like heavy-handed on the time frame of which this takes place.
Yeah, should be fun.
So
okay, I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be interesting. So okay, speaking of year-end movie challenge, that's something we haven't done yet tonight. Should we get that one going? Woo! Year-end movie challenge. What are we doing this? What are we doing tonight? What year? What movies?
Who's the judge?
I think we determine Adam. Dark Adam will be the judge.
Right.
Dark Adam.
You're basically in the dark. I can see like your cyborg glowing eye.
I know.
And that's it.
I'm sorry. I got a kid sleeping in my lap.
It's
so
it's fine. So
Adam, you know what they are, do you not?
What?
Really?
I thought I'm looking them up right
you
now.
Did not
I thought
read I was emails or anything, did you?
I've been in school and dealing with a pukey kid, so no. Am I supposed to pick something here?
Nope. It's already picked for you.
I already got picked for you.
What is it? Let me know.
So it makes it easy.
That's not fair.
Well, if you come out...
Well, because you can't even look at your phone to read an email. What are the odds of you being able to pick out two movies from the same year?
Well, that's actually pretty easy. But maybe if you come out ahead of time and be like, send us an email so we can properly introduce it to the world... during the week. So what is this one anyways?
Right. 1990s? 1990. Total Recall versus The Hunt for Red October.
Okay. I'm putting it into the chat right now. Red October. Alright. Bam! Since Adam's in the dark here, I'll roll. I got a delicious looking D20 here and a delicious D6. So we'll do the highest star together and the lowest star together. How's that?
Sounds
Adam, fun. You're going to be judging for that. Is this okay?
This is acceptable.
Can you be impartial and based it basically solely on the arguments, not off your predetermined like of movies?
I can do this.
Oh, I have complete faith in you. I love you. All right. Dave won. You have rolled a 9. 9. That's right in the middle. It's pretty good. Dave 2, you have rolled a 6, which is the upside down 9. Ryan, you have rolled a 8. Wow, we got some low rolls so far. And I have rolled a 14. So I believe that means it is Dave 2 and Ryan and Dave and me. I have pity for you two, and we'll see how this goes.
May the gods have mercy on your soul.
Who wants? So loser gets their choice.
There is no loser, so I'll roll and we'll go low. Will be you guys go first. How's that?
Well, wait. What are the movies again?
Hunt for Red October. And
I lose.
Oh, low gets or you guys get to choose based on. Oh no, this is the reassign it right. So low, the low roll. Like, how do I fucking do this? How about one?
How about you say if you roll low, then you get Hunt for Red
Sounds October. Good. If I roll low, me and Dave get Hunt for Red October. I missed. I missed again. 20. So that means we have
Total Recall.
Fuck. You guys are so fucked. I think we'd do a better job arguing Hunt for Red October, honestly. But Since you guys have it harder, do you want to rebut or start?
I think rebut is probably the strongest position.
Okay, so that means one of you goes, me and Dave go, and then one more of you goes. Is that correct?
I think so.
Sounds good.
And we're looking at about 90 seconds, I think. Is that right?
Right.
I got it.
Yep.
I got my timer.
Okay.
Dave, do you want to bring us home, or do you want to take the lead? Do you want to take the first leg of the race, or the final leg?
I don't know.
God, I kind of feel like we should switch movies just as a chance.
If you feel that, that is totally within...
That's up to you guys. If you'd rather argue Total Recall, then The Hunt for Red October will allow you to switch.
I'm very good at arguing, but pretty bad at remembering details of movies. So this is... I'm basically screwed either way.
so maybe you should... Whatever. Maybe you should defer to your teammate.
Yes,
I will go first.
Okay.
And we can do The Hunt for Red October.
All right, so you'll get 90 seconds. I'll go. I'll get 90 seconds. Dave will go. He'll get 90 seconds. And Ryan will bring it on home for 90 seconds.
All right.
Here we go.
Begin when you're ready.
The Hunt for Red October is one of the all-time greatest seafaring adventures ever. It is about... Alec Baldwin? It's a Baldwin. One of them is tasked with the job of bringing in a Soviet defector captain of a nuclear sub and bring him back to the States before the Russians track him down and destroy his ship. Now, the best part about this is the Russian captain is the greatest actor of all time, Sean Connery. And he does an awesome job of playing a Soviet, which is not, you know, that's pretty good for being a British actor, or Scottish, or I can't even remember. But this movie is so intricate. The details about it are great. It's riveting. They do a good job with underwater seafare battles, torpedoes, and oh, we got to run deep and be silent and not be tracked. And, you know, at the very end too, when they're having that little night scene at the top, when they're you know, they've surfaced and they're kind of going up the river, you know, and Sean Connery and the Baldwin brother, they're just kind of talking back and forth. They're sharing that moment. This movie's got everything for everybody.
Time.
All right. Whew, I don't even know. I'll just stick to my stuff because it's too easy to rebut stuff like top seafaring movie. It's not even the top 10 of seafaring movies. Come on. Greatest actor ever? Sean Connery? Give me a break. You got Total Recall. This is a movie that fucks with your mind. What was going on? Were they on Mars? Were they not on Mars? Was it all in his head? Was it not in his head? Blue Sky on Mars? Oh my god, this thing's got everything. Not to mention the special effects that go into here. When his face goes crazy and he's like, 2 weeks! 2 weeks! This is a movie. This is a cerebral movie. You can watch this. That's a nice thing. If you're like Adam, you're like, I just want to watch a surface movie. You can just watch it and be like, oh, cool. That was all in his head. Or you could be like, was it reverse and not in his head? What's going on? I have no idea. There's so much going on. Arnold Schwarzenegger doing everything he can to act in this movie. this movie's so good they gave it a sequel. And they tried to remake it again. I'm assuming we're talking about the 1991 because the new one was kind of a shithead, but this one was everything you want in a movie. It's got the sci-fi, it's got the action, it's got Mars having glass domes that you can just shoot out and the world goes crazy. Mutants, give him the air, Kohaga, give him the air. Oh my god! And he gets the woman. I tell you, I don't know where to go from here. All I know is Total Recall. I'm telling you what, Ryan's not even going to Total Recall any of this fucking these movies, so he's just going to make up some shit. All I know is this, yeah, the end. I'll cede any remaining time to my partner.
All right, what could possibly be said that my esteemed colleague has not already said? Recall. It is an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, so by default it has so many quotable lines throughout the movie. Like, Sharon Stone in a small in a role that, you know, could have been played by almost anybody. He plays his wife. There's so many interesting things that you watch it and then you see that they actually made for an action movie. They actually made callbacks and thought provoking things that you never would expect in that movie. It won an Academy Award for visual effects, which were super ahead of its time. The fact that the twist where you find out that one of the Arnold Schwarzenegger's Carl Hauser was actually a bad guy, like the spy guy who had his brain erased was actually a bad guy. So it's like Arnold playing a villain who had his brain erased to play a good guy who's trying to stop a bad version of himself. It's like, it's amazing. And the fact that the blue sky on Mars, that ending, where the little notes, like the ding, 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 it's like, is this real? Or does that whole movie been played out the exact way that he set it up when he was making his story that he wanted to do at Recall? That's it's an amazing movie from top to bottom. Yeah, and 2 weeks.
Sam! Oh, he brought it! Oh, he brought it! I don't even want to play no more! I don't want to play no more! It's over! Over! Choked out!
You know, you made a good case here, but it's not a question about is that a great movie, or even is it one of the greatest movies. It's a question of is it better than The Hunt for Red October, which is really an important movie for our country. Let me just say that right now. Because this movie was a bitch slap, a patriotic bitch slap. Because you had the defector, the honored captain, who, do you see his crew? They did anything he asked. They trusted him completely, you know. And they were patriotic, of course. But guess what? He chose to come to the United States of America, baby. And I think it mentions here in an article I reference here that Ronald Reagan helped fuel the success of this movie when he announced that he quite enjoyed it, which I think is an interesting political twist on it. But it was one of those movies where it had a very calm suspense throughout and a nice tone. There was good acting. The suspense was in the dialogue and in the feel as they got closer. You had the feeling like they might succeed, but yet it got more and more risky. And the captain was a badass. He was a straight up badass, and he chose the United States. And basically the point here is if you don't pick the Red October, then you are a comic.
America. Excellent points on both sides. We'll hear Adam's decision in a moment, but if you out there would like to weigh in, go ahead and send us a vote at geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com or go to the Facebook page Geeks Next Door and throw in your vote right there, and we'll see who truly wins this epic debate. But we'll start with Adam's decision.
Ooh. This is a tough thing for me.
That's Adam's de facto.
It's true. I like that both of Dave's were planned towards the judge, and like Dave knew that I really like C movies, or actually sea captains and boats and boat books. And
Sean Connery,
and that it's entertaining, and I do appreciate the rebuttal from Chris and Dave poking at Ryan and Dave. That's pretty cool. You're funny to me. All right, so it's hard because I don't.
Ain't nobody gonna hold an answer against you. You just say which one was the better argument. Yes.
Argument.
Yeah, who do you want to die, Oogle or
Dolan? Which of your D&D characters has breathed his last breath?
Well, that's true. I think Hunt for Red October actually had slightly better argument.
Okay, tell me why.
Yes! It don't matter why.
I'm curious. I'm curious because I have not yet won one of these, so I'd like to know what Adam saw in your argument. Was it the random, not specific at all topic stuff that people said, or was it the more randomness that with no detail whatsoever? Which one was it?
Was it the America. Fact that there was no real facts given? Like, I think he's from this country? I don't know. He's British? Is he Scottish? I don't know.
I'm just curious.
We're capturing emotion. We're talking about emotion.
Adam, let's see. There was no crazy Ivan talk, which is one of your favorite things in the world.
They did.
Seaman Beaumont.
There was no one ping only.
There was no transition into from Russian into English. That great scene. Oh my god! You guys just completely fucked up your arguments. But yet, Adam's like, I like C movies.
Come on, Adam. There was no, you arrogant ass, you killed ass.
And by the way, his crew was not loyal. His crew fucking tried to mutiny at the end.
They betrayed him, yes.
No, they were loyal to him until they realized he was up to some shit.
That's not loyalty. That's...
Right.
No. They were super loyal to him until they figured out he was defective.
There was no talk of the fucking Russian national anthem played out. Let them sing! You know, oh my god, so much good stuff that you could have brought up. Instead, you just talked about America. Oh my god, this baser instinct. How do I hang up on this guy? How do I hang up on him? There, done.
They trembled with the sound of our rockets.
Oh, I got mad and turned it off.
Now the sound of our silence. Engage the caterpillar drive. They didn't come in. They came at with none of that stuff.
Did we lose Ryan? Ryan,
you hang up
on yourself.
I didn't click shit. Just disappeared.
He got so mad.
I couldn't take the. You know.
Chris hung up on him.
There's something. Just accept the defeat.
I'll accept that. We need a new judge for next time. But as you all know, this is not the end. This is not the final decision. We need you out there who have the most sway in this vote. Adam is only 40% of the vote. We got 60% of the vote for listeners. Send us your vote. GeeksNextDoorFTW@gmail.com. Tell us which one was best. Was it the awesome Total Recall argument, or was it the lame-ass patriotic Not for Act October argument? You send in your vote, please. So we all know. Or go to the Facebook page and vote. Either way.
Someone
vote for Chris so he
can
feel better about himself.
I just want to feel better about good argument and not random, non-specific crap.
That's what arguments are.
You're deciding what a good argument is. You're saying it's got to have specific crap.
I say it needs to have fact and not feeling.
The fact is it was a damn good movie. Captain Ramis.
You don't even remember the movie.
Him.
You have a total recall. You do not have any total recall of this movie. You don't even remember what happened.
I do. I have images of it, and they're very clear in my head.
Okay, what happened? Give me the basic plot.
The basic plot is they're on a submarine, and they say cool stuff. and then the crew tries to kill them, and then they finally make it, and everybody's happy.
Okay.
Boom.
Yep.
But, Adam, like, they're closing. Ryan's closing line that I would have said, if he would have said, and lastly... I would have liked to see Montana. Then I would have conceded defeat.
That's the thing. There's so much good argument you could have made, and you went to this baser crap that nobody cared about.
You're making fun of Ryan, but Dave carried like the whole team over there.
What are you talking about? No, Chris came in with the emotion, which I think is a good argument point. This is coming with the emotion, and then I backed it up with like all the like the facts. I think Chris is emotion. He argues with the emotion.
That's right. Okay, so now that we've discussed this, let's talk about what we actually like better.
Oh, by far, Hunt for Red October.
Really? Interesting. I think Total Recall is a better made movie, because it's the thought pattern of, like, they're both good, don't get me wrong, but if I had to watch one at any given time, it's probably going to be Total Recall, just because Hunt for Red October is a little slow. It's very much a not action movie. It's more of a thinking kind of. But Total Recall, yeah, exactly. And where Total Recall is more of an action movie with that cerebral element to it. So,
I have a hard time comparing Total Recall and Hunt for Red October. If you did like
The Fifth Element and Total Recall. Then I could.
Those are different years.
I know, but still.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Thanks for judging, Adam. Thanks for taking part, everybody. Even though you suck.
Yeah, like yeah, they're total. Like you could use that Total Recall or Hunt for Red October started the Tom Clancy universe of the. So it's not a direct sequel. But you could have said, like, this spawned, like, eight other movies that
were I had that on my notes, but it just didn't go with the flow. Right. The time goes pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah,
I actually had quotes up, too, but they also just didn't fit. And,
right.
Yeah, I had no notes.
Really?
Yeah, did I?
Like, I came up with the movies, so it's like I had, like, an extra 5 hours to come up with notes.
Yeah.
I think it's been 10 years since I've seen
them. No, I know those movies so well, I figured, fuck it. I know these movies. Yeah, I don't need to do anything with them. Okay, cool. Let's do a little bit more, and then maybe we'll do a little that other thing, and then we'll end it from there. So, what else we got going on?
It's an interesting game. Like the beta's out right now. For Honor, it is a fighting game, like a third-person fighting game where there are knights versus Vikings versus samurai.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've seen a few people stream it actually.
And they came up with like a whole fighting system where there are three stances. You're like a left or right stance and you know, a high stance, and there are light, medium, and heavy type guys. So, you know, like a heavy guy will counter a medium guy, which will counter a light guy, but a light guy is fast enough to get it in on a heavy guy, so there's that countering system. And then because you're switching your stances so quickly and on the fly, like you can block an attack if you, or you can parry an attack, which could give you. And then there's an environmental things where if you're fighting on a bridge, you can just win the fight by kicking a guy off a bridge. And it's one of those things where it's as deep as you want to make the fighting system. Like you could just go in there and just be like, "Hey, I just hap on the buttons," and you probably will win. But if you've come against a guy who really knows what they're doing, he will just block and counterattack and beat you.
Yep. And there's different modes, right, to this game. So I watched somebody, there was like I think it's like 5-on-5, and then you have a bunch of almost like minions that go and take objectives, and they sit there and they hold, and if you go in, you're like a hero, right? So it's kind of like, think League of Legends, but first person, and the minions are actually like guys. It actually reminds me a lot of Dynasty Warriors, right? There's whole bunch of guys taking points, and then you're the hero, so you can go in and just fuck shit up and take a whole bunch of them, unless there's another hero that's on the other team fighting you, that's another person, so in which case you have to kind of duel about. So, but other than that, it's like taking points and objectives. I thought that was kind of a cool aspect of it.
Right, yeah, and it's one of these, like, the guy who created it is like some old, like some bearded dude who like went and learned a bunch of actual things like about fighting styles from people and like why, like, you know, like, a knight would use his sword to slash and stuff like that, but if he got close enough, he would also use the hilt to try and jab you in the neck, or use the, you know, use the pommel to do that, or use you know, the back of the sword to like do this. And like fighting as a knight wasn't like the old way that you see it in some old movies where it's like a lot of like ting, ting, ting and hitting stuff like that. They would actually get up close, try and throw you to the ground, stab you in the chest and stuff like that. So it's actually like really visceral and
street fighting.
And there is,
it's a street
fight. Looks like there's like a map element too, where the three sides each control like a giant map. And as you zoom in and fight battles, like you start to take over more control of those maps between the three sides. Very similar to that space game that came out that I don't remember, but
Eve?
No. Because it's a map, so picture a map, and then there's like a big green section and a red section and blue section, and as you go in and fight battles, you might, if you win, the blue section might take over slightly the red section. I forget what that one's called, but it's cool. It works on many levels, and you can definitely see people stream it. I haven't played it, but you watch people stream it. A lot of times they stream it between games, between League of Legends games and stuff, because it's quick fights.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah. Planetside 2 is what I think the game you're playing, where it's like
it.
three different teams. Yep.
So what's interesting to me about this is it almost feels like a new genre mix that I haven't seen, which is kind of like mixing like a Tekken type tactical one-on-one fighting game with a bunch of other stuff. You know what I mean?
Like Bushido Blade?
You know, like the fact that the fighting any pizza carry stuff is so in-depth, the one-on-one fighting, That seems unique. Like, I can't think of many games where that's true.
Right. Because most games that would do that stuff would be Dynasty Warriors, which did not have much, like, in the way. It was just basically you went in there and swung your glaive. As much as I like to play Guan Yu in that game, where you slice these people's skin and kill 1,000 guys, yep. It's like there wasn't a lot of combos. You were just basically attack, 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 yep. Okay. Attack, 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 okay.
Yeah, the right. One-on-one battles were interesting, but to me, I like more of the capture points, use your team, kind of rally around. It felt like Call of Duty, or actually Battlefield's probably a better example. But right. With a lot of minions that just kind of go and do shit. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Sure. Yeah, I personally don't think I'd like the one-on-one fighting, but I think it's interesting that it's new. It's like a Street Fighter type side scroll skill based fighting game, but it's also got first person elements. Right. Not that part wouldn't be my. I'm with you, Chris. I like the other parts better, but that's cool to me that's the genre has been mixed into here a little bit.
A lot of people say, like, the one-on-one is to learn how to play a guy, because now you have time. Like, you go in there with your friend, I'm like, I'm going to learn my guy, all of his moves, do combos. Okay. Because if you're playing that mode, the big thing, you're going to fight one guy, and if you're not paying attention, his buddy's going to come up there and just hit you in the head with an axe, and your one-on-one skills do not translate well.
It's cool. Kind of a cool genre mix, right? Samurai / ninja against knights against Vikings. That's kind of a cool thing that they did.
Right. Yeah. So it's a free open beta for, you know, the whole weekend, and it comes out on the 14th. Cool. So anyone who wants to...
That's on Steam?
I think it's on Steam, yeah.
So if you're not going to get late on Valentine's Day, you can pick this game up, and there you go. So, I hate to interrupt, but we have a request. I know we talked about it a little bit before, but an awesome viewer would like to know if anybody is excited for the new Nintendo system. We talked about it a little bit a couple episodes ago. Do we know any more information about it at this point? Release games, that kind of stuff, when it's coming out? Or have they addressed the battery life issue at all? Or are they just like, it's not going to last very long?
Dave, what do you know about this?
Well, they have talked a little bit about battery life. It's away from the docking station, so when it's portable, depending on what you're doing, depending on the type of game you're playing, depending on, you know, how rigorous the game is and whether or not you're taking off the Switch controls, they said it could last anywhere from 2 to 6 hours.
Right, which
away from
doesn't seem like a long time, honestly. I mean... I understand that the primary, it's supposed to be used basically, you plug it in, you play it, and when you want to go for a quick trip, you go. But I'm thinking like a car ride or even an airline ride or whatever. Like if you take this away from the docking station on a trip, you're not going to get much use out of it, right? Unless you can charge it externally, I suppose.
And it will have an external charge just like a DS has. It has the micro USB plug-in so you can charge it.
Okay.
You could plug it, if you're sitting at the airport, right, waiting for your plane, you could plug it into the wall and play while you're waiting.
Okay.
So it is going to have that. The release games are not very much at all. It is releasing with Zelda.
So that's the big one.
And then there's a couple other small ones. The new Mario Galaxy or something like that, that's not coming out till summer. The new Mario Kart's not coming out until the fall. I think the Skyrim transfer, because they're going to import Skyrim, I think that's not until a month or two after release, which is March.
March 3rd, I think. Right?
I think we're only a few weeks away from release.
Yeah, it's pretty close. March 3rd.
So they have been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about the release game-wise is not impressive except for Zelda. Zelda's getting 9.5, 10 stars on most reviews, but there's not much for release wise. It sounds like they sprung it a little bit on these third party platforms. That they're happy that they could invest and bring that in, you know, and come back to Nintendo, but they're not quite ready for it yet. So we're going to see a lot of that come out probably, you know, early fall and into the holiday shopping season.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Is there any reason why they're releasing it in March instead of later in the season?
End of fiscal year, dude.
End of fiscal year. Zelda's ready. They're releasing Zelda not only for the Switch, but also for Wii U. They want to get it out. You know, if you look right now, this is the time of year where you're not seeing a lot in games. E3's coming up, so if they can jump out in the market right now and capture the doldrums, you know, it does make sense. The price point is $299. I mean, it's okay.
It's a little,
I think that's perfectly fine for fifth generation console or whatever. That's perfectly fine.
Right. Yep.
Is it underrated again? So powered, like, the processing power?
Nintendo's never going to try and compete with the big boys. It's not their job. Yep. Their job is to have Zelda and Mario and all these games that people like are our childhood memories. They're like, we don't remember this.
Too much.
Right.
So, it doesn't take much to use
dock
computer.
So docking wise, it's 1080p, but if you're playing the mobile, it's 780.
So
or 7
tell me 30. Between like I will get it, I might get it, and I'm not going to get it. Give me one of those three, everybody. Adam, what about you?
Probably not. Okay. I'm not much of a
Nintendo that's fine.
Person.
Dave, what about you?
If it had like Peggle and shit like that, I would get it for Tiffany because she would like playing it, or like puzzle games because she really likes puzzle games, stuff like that.
But
like Bobble stuff.
Do
like
they
that.
Not have like in the PS3 and 4 you can buy that shit, download it? Do they have something like that or?
Well, they do have the network thing they're building, and I think it's required for like $30 a month, right?
It's like
$50
a year.
It's $30
a year.
Yeah,
it's a year.
Oh, $30 a year. Sorry,
that's really good.
Like theirs is really low, but the game, the console itself does not have an internal web browser. You can't watch Netflix. Mm. You can't watch any of the stuff. Like, even if you could, I mean, the battery life is 3 hours. So what are you gonna do? You'd rather watch that stuff on your phone.
So it's definitely a game console and not like an all-in-one entertainment system, which things have been going towards.
Going with Torch. Right, exactly.
So you're probably not?
So, yeah, probably not, because the games themselves, like, as much as I like Mario games, I like Mario Kart. I think that's one of my, you know, that's one of those games that is super fun to play.
Super Smash Brothers,
stuff like that. Those are fun to play, but I don't think I would buy it because I just wouldn't play them when I can play other games that I would totally.
Sure. Nobody's like pointing fingers or anything. Well,
right.
Ryan,
yeah.
I'm guessing you're not going to be picking it up. You don't usually pick up.
I'm going to say probably not, but maybe when it gets cheaper and if there's looks like there's good games that the kids will like play. That's
what about you, Dave?
Probably not. I mean, I want to play the new Zelda, but I already have enough consoles around my house right now.
Okay. We probably will be getting it just for Zelda, because Amy plays every Zelda game, and she really likes Zelda. And that will be, like, the only reason we get it. Maybe in the future we'll use it for something else, but honestly, I think the Wii U is just really good for family stuff, so I'm pretty sure the next 5 years we'll still be using the Wii U once kids get old enough. So that would be, like, the only reason. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. But Zelda does look fun, so it seems like a high price point just for Zelda, but at least we'll have it. Maybe if something comes out. I don't love playing games on consoles. It's not my preferred method, but whatever.
It is effective, though.
Yeah, and you never know. Maybe we'll be able to download stuff that is fun. And we have we have consoles upstairs. That's true. I don't know.
And you actually don't need to get it, because whatever that Zelda game is coming out on the Wii U.
I don't know. Okay. We'll see. Like I said, it wouldn't be for me anyways. It would be for Amy. She likes playing. We would play it together probably, but that would be like the extent of it. It does look like a fun Zelda game. It looks really fun and interesting. I'd love to play it. Those games I kind of like to play. Like we played The Last Zelda as a family. We all sat on the couch together and took turns doing stuff, running around or whatever. And that was fun. And it's a fun experience to do as a family. I don't know that it's the same anymore, but I don't know. We'll see. So maybe I should change mine to a maybe. All right, cool. Anything else? What else we got going on?
Hey, man, do you got any, like, D&D things that are awesome?
Good segue! But first I want to talk about John Wick 2 real quick. John Wick 2 is coming out tomorrow. Amy and I talked, we'll probably go Saturday night if anybody wants to go.
Okay.
Because Dave, you mentioned you're busy Friday. Saturday night around 9:30, we'll probably go. So if anybody wants to go, John Wick was a fun movie, had an interesting universe. We'll probably go see the sequel.
Cool.
And everybody should have plenty of gift cards to use. So.
That's true. Although I'll probably have that for like 12 years, and I always forget.
You know what the sucky part about gift cards though is? Someone usually buys them all because it's just better to sit next to each other. So it would almost be better to go, everyone put your gift cards into a giant pool, and then now we have these gift cards, we put them all in, and then we say, okay, buy tickets. Like, oh, see, Dave hasn't come to this movie, so Dave technically has four movies that he can still go to.
Yeah, I predicted happening was I would like, oh, I'll buy the tickets, and then when I get to the theater, Ryan will be like, here's a gift card, it's just as good as cash. And I'll be like, okay. And then Adam will make it to one movie 6 months later, and I'll be like, here's a gift card. Which is fine. It just means, because eventually they will get used. It's not a big deal, right? But it does make it a little more interesting. So.
Just as good as cash.
Good as cash.
Okay, so I got four hastily assembled D&D plotline movie trivia stuff for you guys if you wanna partake, and we'll see how you do. Does that sound okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Let's do it.
We're getting kind of late in the show, so we'll maybe do this. If we have one more or two more things, we'll wrap it up. If you don't know what we're doing, basically we take a movie plot, we break it down into its basic elements, throw those elements into like a D&D medieval world kind of thing, and see if you can guess the movie. I don't have a good example because I didn't pull up my email, but yeah, I think you'll get the hint after or the thing after the first one. So remember, if you get it, go ahead and like raise your hand or say something. We'll give people time to think about it. And we'll give Ryan time to think about it. Sorry, buddies. And then we'll see who got it right after that. So,
The Hunt for Red October.
You can do that one later. All right. Number one. Traveling to a distant land, a Kingsguard must turn on the king and unite the forest elves to save his conscience and their world. One more time.
What?
Traveling to a distant land, a Kingsguard must turn on the king and unite with forest elves to save his conscience and the world.
I got it.
No, I don't have it. Is it Wild Wild West?
Wiki Wiki West Side.
I mean, not Wiki. Is it Ben Barr's, PN shirt Ben Barr's?
No. Would you like a hint? The two of you that don't have it.
Yes.
A lot of this movie makes an excellent screensaver.
Oh.
Okay, I know that.
All right, what do we got? Anybody? Yell it out.
Avatar. Ryan, since it's your favorite movie.
Yeah, Avatar.
Yes, Avatar. So, as you can see, it's not specific, it's not direct, but it is a dude working in the army, turning on another dude that's really high up in rank to help forest elves. Very basic plot. There it is.
That's really tough one.
Yeah, that one's not great.
Really?
I don't think they get much better, so let's see what we got. Alright. Four professional rogues with colorful names pull off a daring heist of the king's jewels, only to discover that one of them is actually working against them.
Is that a Marky Mark movie?
No.
The king's jewels.
One more time. Four professional rogues with colorful names pull off a daring heist of the king's jewels, only to discover that one of them is actually working against them.
Oh, I know what that one is. I think I know.
Ocean movie?
No, it's the colorful names.
Yeah, that's what I did. All right. Yeah, what is it?
Like literally.
Yes.
Reservoir Dogs.
Oh,
yeah. Good job. Okay, we got two more here. The constable of a small, quiet frontier farming community is caught up in a murderous plot for gold.
That's Wild Wild West.
There's no giant
snakes. The constable of a small, quiet frontier farming community is caught up in a murderous plot for gold.
Seems like I don't know the plot of Fargo, but for some reason that seems like a good fit.
Good job, Ryan. Ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
I was going to put a constable of a small tundra, but that seemed too easy. So.
That's way too good.
Yeah. Okay, last one. Here we go. Massive destruction sparks nationalistic frenzy, and several school-age friends join the local army. They are deployed to strange foreign lands to fight monstrous enemies.
One more picture it, but I can't remember the name.
One more, okay. Massive destruction sparks nationalistic frenzy, and several school-age friends join the local army. They are deployed to strange foreign lands to fight monstrous enemies.
Oh, that's like that. Sounds like everyone.
Only a good.
Would you like a hit? Would you like a hit?
Dead.
See, Adam. Adam fucked up. Adam, keep your mouth shut. God damn it! It was a good hit. The hint was, would you like to know more?
That would have also given away instantly.
All right, those are the only ones I got tonight. Sorry, but good job.
That was
a good one. I
like that
one.
I like that one.
I'm surprised you got that one so quick. That was that. I didn't think people would get that one so quick. I guess the school friends maybe or.
The nationalistic got me, like, what got me.
Okay.
There. So I was like, what movie is super now? Oh, yeah, that one's super, like.
It was the Starship.
Gotcha. Okay, what's this Journey to the West thing? This looks interesting.
Okay, Journey to the West is like a big, for people who don't know, it's a big Chinese epic that involves, like, a monkey king and like a bunch of immortals and a pig man and stuff like that.
They're a snake god.
But China is now China has been in the last 10 years or so getting into making gigantic movies, trying to like compete with the United States in like the hugeness of their movies. So they made one. It cost $85 million there, which would probably, but because it's a communist country, probably that could be $300 million, and we would never actually know what it is. But it looks ridiculous.
It looks really pretty.
Like, right? Like it looks.
It looks. Yeah, I like the way the women look.
but there's the Monkey Man, and he's like fighting. The Monkey King is fighting demons, and like doing crazy stuff, like hitting guys so hard they go into the atmosphere, and then jumping up there, and then there's. Like, the guy harnessing his chi to make hands that are the size of the Earth. And it's crazy.
And what's this called again?
Journey to the West.
When does this... this is a preview, I take it?
Yep, this is the official trailer. It came out on, just into January.
So is this a movie... When is this supposed to come out? Any idea? It looks pretty fun, actually.
I think it would be fun.
I can't read Chinese, so I guess, like when it is, because there's the end of the credits where it's all like, hey, here's it is, but it never tells me when it actually comes
out. Okay,
but
we'll look for it. That'll be kind of fun. That Russian movie with the fucking superheroes in the Russian, we should look for that one too.
Right, like things are getting interesting because it's like other people are trying. It's cool to have other countries with a completely different set of mythologies.
Yes, I like that. I don't see any Donnie Yen in this movie though. It's a little sad. So,
right.
All right, that's cool. Cool. I'll have to look forward to that.
This looks awesome.
All right. Let's call it a night. Thanks.
I got one thing.
Let's not call it a night. Dave's got one more thing just before the crack of midnight where we all turn into pumpkins. So what do you got?
Jay and Silent Bob are coming back.
Explain.
Again?
Kevin Smith announced today that over the last month he has written another Jay and Silent Bob film called Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. It is literally them having to go back to Hollywood because someone is trying to reboot the Blunt Man and Chronic movie, which they already once shot down. Now they're going to have to go back and fight to shoot it down.
Okay, so this is a very heavy pot smoker coming up with ideas and writing them down, which is cool, but he's probably still got to get everything done with it because we still got to see the miniseries of Clerks 3, right? That's supposed to come out first.
Well, he did a long Facebook post. Both Clerks 3 and Mallrats 2, no one was interested. So they're never going to get made. He doesn't own the rights to them anymore either.
Wait. Now, I heard that he had the rights back to Clerks and that they were going to turn into a miniseries on one of the distribution networks. Like,
it would be Mallrats 2 that he was going to do a TV series, but based off the post, no one seems to be interested in distributing it.
Interesting. I haven't listened to the podcast in a while, but interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So those have been kind of shot down, and so now he's turned his attention to Jay and Silent Bob because he still owns both.
Okay, so I was going to say, honestly, I will see all of them, but that's like the third one. I'd rather watch a Clerks 3 and I'd rather watch a Mallrats 2 before I see Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
No, oh, Clerks 3 got is no longer because a fourth member, key member to the movie dropped out, Affleck. Is what he said.
No, Affleck wasn't a key member. I don't know who that would have been, but okay, whatever. Interesting. We'll have to stay tuned for further developments and stuff like that.
You are the ball lickers.
Yes.
Right.
All
right.
Now we can leave. Thanks everyone for joining us. If you missed the argument, the epic argument that was obviously very one-sided, you can find it on iTunes, Geeks Next Door. You can find it on iTunes, Simplecast, any of the places you find
Stitcher,
any place you find podcast. It'll just be the audio version, not the visual version. Or you can write in geeksnextdoorftw@gmail.com, or we have a Facebook page called Geeks Next Door. And that is all. Thanks, guys. I had a good time tonight, and I guess we'll see everybody next week.
It is.
Bye.
It is. I wish I could have seen Montana.
See? How do you possibly...